Welcome to Conscious Communication, the podcast that can help you improve your company's culture and better your team's communication, helping you build more significant relationships. Now here's your host, Philip Bogolub.
I have the privilege and honor of talking with Helena Terzieva. I knew I would make a mess out of it. You say it right. Say it the right way.
Yes, it's Helena Terzieva.
Terzieva. I mean, I spelled it phonetically, yep. And I still didn't get it right. But it's okay. You know, my name is Bogolub, but nobody ever gets that right, so it's all right. I always tell people, they say, how do you spell it? Buy one, get one, L-U-B. That's the only way people can get that part right. So thank you very much for being on the show. I really appreciate it today.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. She's an official member of Forbes Coaching Council. She's an agile coach, and she's the founder and editor of Coaching Made Simple magazine. If we have time today, I want to talk about that magazine. It looks like it's fairly new, but I like the name. So before we get started, I want to know what coincidences, what serendipities, what accidents happened in your life that you end up doing what you're doing today? Because you didn't like wake up in the middle of the night and going, I think I'm going to be an agile coach and do what you're doing. What kind of serendipities happened in your life and said, I think I'm going in that direction?
Oh my God, it's a whole journey, right? And the most interesting part is that you never know what will happen the next day. And this is how it happened. I never knew that I will end up being a agile coach. I never knew that I will end up being a professional coach or a neuroscience coach or, you know, knowing all those positive psychology stuff. It kind of seems like too complicated sometimes. So you never know what will happen the next day. That's how it happened, actually, being able to accept what's coming next. And then just go with the journey and learn from it. So I'm a professional, basically, I'm a software developer. That's my training. That's my graduate program. I went to school here in Montreal, Canada, as a bachelor in computer science. And I also studied in Bulgaria, which is my original country, in computer science. So that's like my original, you know, bachelor degree. And what we learn out there is how to work with numbers, how to work with machines, and how to create something beautiful out of it. And then when I finished university, what happened is that they hired me for a big company in Canada, working on simulators, creating something else that is so different from what I knew at that moment. And then somehow I ended up in agile space, which was very, very new space for me. And then they asked me somehow, you know, stuff just happened, and you never know what will happen the next day. So it was Friday. I remember that. Honestly, it was a very, very interesting day. So on Friday, Philip, they asked me, do you want to join us? We are doing that big digital transformation in the company. So we're looking for people who do not fear change. I was like, ooh, what that?
You're right.
I fear change. That's not for me, you know? You know how girls are sometimes when we want to take a new position or a new challenge, we have a lot of limiting beliefs. So at that moment, I had one of those. And I was telling myself, oh my God, I need to have 80% of the skills to go and do that. And I'm not even sure what I'm supposed to do, right? So that's what's interesting. And then I decided to take the challenge. So I became a agile coach. And then I was like constantly thinking about it. Oh my God, I'm a agile coach. First, what is agile coaching about? At that moment, it was like more than 10 years ago. I had some experience, but not as agile coach. And then we were lacking a lot of support from mentors, you know, and from people. So the mentorship wasn't so well developed like today. Today, we have the support. At that moment, like more than 10 years ago, we didn't have that. We were not so lucky to have it. And then I created my own journey. And my whole journey was related to eliminating all the assumptions I am making to be able to do to make an impact. So then I asked myself, those assumptions, sometimes we do not know that they exist, right? So what am I assuming about? What is agile coaching? What is professional coaching? How does the brain works? And how can we create a nice and sustainable agile environment where people are happy and you can make a difference and people can are willing to come at work and they will have fun, you know? And they will be conscious about the way they communicate and conscious about how they act. So that's how it starts. So then suddenly I went into neuroscience, professional coaching, positive psychology, all those very interesting.
Oh, you took a dive completely into this.
Yeah, like kind of. Yeah. So I was inspired by my own journey because at the end of the day, I had a vision. And I think that makes the whole difference. If you know, how do you want to picture yourself in few years, then going and reaching that point is just a detail. It's only a question of how
right
you will get there, right?
That's amazing. Okay, that's... conversation's over. We're all done with the interview. Because, well, you know, I want to talk to my conscious communication audience for just a minor second. I'm just did everyone listen to what you said? She took a chance. She was uncomfortable. She didn't know, but she, for some reason, somewhere knew that it was the right place to be, but she had no idea what it was. She didn't even know what agile was. She didn't know about coaching and all this. So she opened herself up to the universe and saw what would work and what wouldn't work. And then she's now enjoying abundance of work. I mean, she's got a big smile on her face. You can't see her. And she's got a lot of good energy. I can feel it even though it's through the computer because it's very positive. So I just wanted to tell that conscious communication audience that listens to this, the people I'm interviewing are positive people, people that are, they're not taking risks like they're losing their house and their life. They're just going with the flow and going, you know what? I want to see where this leads me. And I mean, you came from halfway around the world, you know, and 20 years ago, and that's scary enough, you know, starting in a new country, but figuring out how to do things and what's available, I just think that's wonderful. So there's so many different things I wanted to talk to you about. We might have to have you back and do another one. So how do you bring positive thinking into all your coaching?
That's a great question. Very, very good question. I would say something maybe very, very interesting. I hope it will be interesting because it's a method that I created by myself. And it works very well. And it's kind of transformational, very simple and transformational. So I remember when I was going into the professional coaching journey, you know, the professional coach is someone who has certain skills and competencies. And we look at people in a different way. We look at people as they are, you know, capable to solve the challenges. They have all the internal resources inside. They are conscious about what they do, right? It's all about conscious communication.
Right.
And all those things are very important. The mindset that you have when you go and coach someone. I don't want to say this person is not coachable. What I want to say is I trust that this person can be coachable. I trust that this person has the internal resources to make a difference because I really believe in that. And when you start the coaching conversation with this mindset and you show respect towards people, people feel that. And what is happening is like that when you're positive towards people, the intention is out there, then you don't have time to judge, because we have a natural tendency to judge. And very often people say, oh, I do not judge. Come on, everyone is judging.
Of course, yes.
It's judging. 80% of our thoughts naturally are negative thoughts. So you cannot say you're not judging. You are. But then do you realize that you are judging? And what do you do with that information? This is the consciousness. So then at one moment, I asked myself, I realized actually that I was judging and I do not want to judge, you know, the mindset and all the respect and everything. So
right.
Then I find a way to reverse the whole thing. So simple conversation like what we have right now, because I think that's a conversation, I enjoy it a lot. So simple conversation, what I am thinking about, you know, what is it? What are the three most beautiful things about the person who is in front of me? What are the three strengths that this person has? And then, you know the brain, how it works. There's a capacity in the short-term memory. So my brain is busy enough. Brain likes to be busy, right? So my brain is busy with the positive stuff. And I don't have time to think about the negative. It's very powerful. Simple, powerful.
It is. It's simple, but it's not easy to do.
Okay.
It's, you know, people don't like to say that it takes work, but then they say, well, it takes time. Okay, whatever makes you happy. It takes some effort to not do that stuff that we have all, I call them folders, that are locked into our file cabinet in our brain. Because you're right. You make a judgment the way somebody looks, the way somebody talks, the way somebody moves, the way, you know, when you're interviewing somebody, if somebody's got their arms crossed, you know, and those things are good. It keeps you safe. So you're not running in the middle of traffic, get hit by a car, but you're not thinking about starting the car. You're not thinking about the red light means stop and a green light means go. But all the other stuff is all those judgments that get in the way. And if you can have that open conversation and give them the space, like you're saying, to be able to consciously communicate from the positive light and realize those judgments are they're limiting their life. And to also realize we have the same things. I mean, when you say this, you know that's the same thing in yourself. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to realize it. And, you know, when somebody tells me with the philosophy and all the things that I'm doing in what my business is, and it's called Ajna, it's called Your Soul Knowledge. And I'm doing all these, you know, live events, and I have some students now, and I keep reminding them, I have the same, where do you think it came from?
From yourself?
Judgments. What? I'm sorry? Yeah. Yes.
It comes from within, huh? It comes from yourself. You experience the same things, right?
Yes. Yes. And yeah, I love that stuff. And again, that's why I wanted to talk to you. Okay. Next one. What are your teaching methods for learning new habits?
Okay, so let's say, can you repeat that question,
please? Oh, it's okay. What are your teaching methods for learning new habits, which then becomes routines? You know, the habits, routines we have every day. How do you teach them that, okay, that limiting belief or that idea, or, you know, if you're brushing your teeth and you're putting your toothpaste in your ear, well, that's great, and you're not brushing your teeth. How do you kind of help somebody along with getting that new habit, which will be a positive routine?
That's a great question. So habits, they can be sometimes challenging, changing those habits, because habits are very often related to a routine you have. And yeah, maybe we can talk about a simple stuff to illustrate the concept. So habits are related to some kind of trigger, right? So there are some kind of situation when the habit happens. So being aware first about the situation when it happens, you know, that's essential. Awareness about the trigger is very, very important. So if you are aware, for example, you are smoking cigarettes. Let's say someone is smoking cigarettes. It's a habit. We know it's not good for health. Then how do you change that? So maybe you should think about, you know, when is it that I am doing this? Probably when I feel extreme emotions. Probably when I feel too happy or I feel very sad. So those are like extreme emotions. So it's related to emotional regulation at the end of the day. So once I am aware about those emotions, what do I do with that? It's like data. It's like information, right? So how do I want to model what is coming next? So it starts with, we talked about vision, huh? So then in that situation, when I am very sad, I should ask myself maybe, what do I want to do instead of taking a cigarette? Maybe I want to go and read a book or something else, you know, whatever works for the person. There's no like one size fits all, right? You should create your own habits map, let's say. Okay,
No, continue. Please. Go ahead.
Please.
No, okay. Because, you know, you've got to let them find out what it is within themselves because, you know, we all mean well, especially with loved ones and family, and you get mad at somebody going, you know, Kalina, you need to do this because if you do it this way, it's going to work. No, it doesn't. It works for me the way I process in my mind. Now, our intentions are good. Because we do that, it's family and our loved ones. We want the best for them. But then you have to realize that when you're talking, that's all they're hearing is because it's not going to work for them. Now maybe they take something that might trigger them, but they already know. So it's getting it instead of trying to change them in the way you think they should be. And again, it's a good intentions. Give them the space to be able to come out to find out what they really truly want, like that cigarette. Why are they doing that? Why are they having that cigarette? Why are they, you know, are they stressed out? Is it something that it's a way of expressing that they're happy? I mean, it could be all sorts of things. And we don't know. And we tend to assume and make these giant assumptions and leaps of assumptions of going, oh, that's the way they're doing it. So it's got to be that way. And just giving them the space to do that, I think that's a real, real good, important point of what you're doing. And it's great. Okay. So we don't have too much time, so I want to get a few more questions if we can. So how can you bring your coaching throughout the world? How would you want to consciously communicate this throughout the world? Do you have some kind of message that you want to get out there? What is your purpose for what you're doing beyond just simply just agile coaching? But the stuff we've been talking about so far, how do you want to kind of get that out there? Which kind of your goal, your path?
Yeah, so I want to make a change. I want to provoke change. I want to provoke a bigger social awareness about the importance of humanity. Because for the past years, especially in the corporate environment that I am in, I'm part of that corporate environment for more than 10 years. And in that environment, we're so focused on performance. And very often we decide to do different change initiatives or digital transformations, and we think it's for best. But then, like, we forget the people. We forget the people. And if you go and look at all the research out there, all the science out there, people become more unhappy. And they suffer. So we forget the human factor. And sometimes we call the people, those people are resources. Resources, oh my God, a resource is like a laptop, a resource is my phone or something else. People are people and they need human-centric people to lead them. And they need the environment so that they can flourish. And it's very, very simple. It starts with simple skills, simple competencies, and the focus on that humanity part. And I believe that this can bring us sustainable change. Because very often we try to change stuff. You mentioned the new habits. We try to create new habits and new routines. But those new habits, you know, if we want that to become sustainable, if we want to create the new habit, we need an environment, the right environment. We need the right approach. And it's not like being only performance related. Maybe we should measure happiness, I don't know, or some of those good things that can make people go and stay. We want to retain the people in the companies, not just, you know, accept that people don't stay in a company for a long time.
Right.
And with new generations, it becomes even more difficult to retain them because new generations are driven by purpose. They are driven by humanity. It doesn't work that way anymore.
Yeah,
no,
I
it doesn't work the same way. We need to change.
I totally agree. Okay. We got to finish our conversation because Kalina has to go.
Sure.
So I'm promising the audience we're talking again because I haven't gotten to a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to have to schedule more time. I want to talk about your magazine and some other stuff. But Kalina, I really thank you for talking with us. It's been a fantastic conversation. We definitely have to pick it up where we left off. I wanted to thank you. And
I would like to thank you for the opportunity. It's amazing what you're doing.
Well, thank you very much. And I always leave the audience with saying, remember, it is more important to express your thinking thoughts and not the thoughts you are thinking. That is what is called conscious communication. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Communication. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can also get more great information at ConsciousCommunicationPodcast.com.